Hi, I'm Charlie, and I've written some things about Bilderberg over the years.
This year's lists, we've got two, which is quite strange. The first one, which was their kind of wannabe list, these are the people we want to come, but certain people have disappeared off of there because it's been made public and we have a different list. So this isn't normal, is it?
No, it's very unusual. I'm not quite sure exactly that first list's route into the public realm, but yeah, it's very interesting that I guess that was sort of some heavily penciled in names that have subsequently been rubbed out, and we've got our what's closer to a true list now, although things do change even at the last minute. I mean, even now, it's quite funny to see David Lammy listed as Prime Minister, but which I still think he might still be up there as Prime Minister.
No, you can't get the staff, even at Bilderberg. Maybe the idea is he's going to be the Prime Minister when Keir Starmer has his local election results in.
It'd be quite funny if he turns out to be, but be very prescient. But I suspect it's just poor old Sander just typing it in wrongly.
Yeah. Also, somebody who has appeared on the updated list is Blaise Metrawelli. So we've got two very important director generals of the intelligence services of France and Britain. And I don't know if we've ever had top, actually serving intelligence chiefs at the Bilderberg. They're usually ex-chiefs or people involved with intelligence.
Yeah, there's also the head of the of that kind of intergovernmental agency, the OSCE or whatever.
OECD, yeah, Organization of Economic Cooperation and Developing, yeah, as well as the World Economic Forum. So it's almost like all the other sub-Bilderbergs are all, the chiefs are all there.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so with obviously, NATO's the boss of NATO, plus his chief of staff, who I was reading up, is in charge of policy, NATO policy. So, yeah. So, and also the head of SHAPE, or have you? You know, if that's how you say it, I've never said that out loud. You know, the SHAPE, NATO.
Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe, which I think was actually started in the Second World War, when the America after D-Day.
And if you
But
look back
anyway,
beyond
Charlie,
the
what I'd like is you just tell us what you think's going on, because we've obviously got this illegal, unprovoked Trump war, and Mark Carney and the Bilderbergers putting themselves up as the sensible people in the room.
although Mark is Mark Carney on the fresh list?
No, he disappeared.
He was on the other one. But the most interesting, sorry, just to go back to the first list, is that the most interesting name to disappear, I think, is the head of the World Economic Forum, or the former head, Borger Brenda, or however he's called, or Brenda Borg, who left under a kind of shadow, a slight shadow of Epstein, a cloud of Epstein. And so he sort of, and he's been shuffled off the steering committee as well. Have you noticed? So the head of the World Economic Forum has stepped down and isn't here. And also, most interestingly, considering the Epstein links, Peter Thiel isn't on the new list.
Well, it may be, mightn't it, that the initial list was it was watermarked confidential, and so these are the sorts of people to warn journalists, please don't write about this. This is a press release marked confidential. These are the important people, and so when it's made public, they are not there because this would make it more newsworthy potentially. But anyway, how do you think the sort of Carney faction, the Bilderbergers, fit in with Trump's war?
Well, I mean, Rutte's there, currently, and has had his big slap on the wrist, yet another from his daddy Trump, as he calls him. So, yeah, it's very much a kind of mustering of the old guard, isn't it? You know, they're sort of putting on a kind of a show of concerted strength here, and saying, look, here we all are. Here's all our bigwigs. Plus, but they've also with the American military here, you've got the Secretary of the Army, and you've got the head of the Indo-Pacific Command here. So you've got big American military figures as well. So there seems to be more unity behind the scenes than there are perhaps in the in front of the curtain.
Also, it's a very early meeting. I mean, we've been looking around to find it, and we weren't even expecting. Suddenly, Easter weekend, it pops up on the NATO website, of all places. We have a Bilderberg 6 weeks early.
It's very early. And I mean, one can only assume that's to do with the various military shenanigans that are currently going on. I mean, there's the older... So the it's interesting that the... Greenland former foreign minister is there, is come, but so she was presumably invited when she was, you know, back a bit earlier when she was, because she left, I think she left office a couple of months ago or something, so she would be invited when she was the foreign minister, and still they've honoured the invitation. She's here as the former foreign minister, and the whole Greenland thing was probably kind of put in the diary a bit earlier than, because, you know, it flared up a little while ago, and I think before all the latest stuff has kicked off. So I mean, look, it's NATO seems to be sort of fighting on various fronts at the moment, and as you can see, as you go down the press release, you know, you've got you know, the Arctic security, which is a very interesting one, speaking of Greenland, so that's that sort of area.
Yeah, that's code for Greenland.
Exactly. So, and that's a new. I've not seen that. I've not seen any reference to the Arctic in any previous Bilderberg, you know, just agenda. So that's very interesting. And but then obviously you've got the big hitters of the Middle East, you know, in Russia and Ukraine and all of that still. And Christian Freeland there talking about that.
Yeah, so just looking at the agenda, what do you think this is the purpose of this? I mean, I spoke earlier on to the Newsnight office, the production office in the BBC, saying it looks quite interesting. Would you not be interested in the story if it's been published on the Bilderberg website that the serving Director General of MI6 is over in Washington having a meeting about what to do about Trump underneath his nose?
Absolutely. I mean, it just says USA on the list. I like the way the list has things like...
Well, that's code for Trump.
Absolutely, that's code for Trump. It's also got the West, which is a slightly amazingly general yet... It's sort of interesting thing to have at the bottom under the future of warfare, but also this, it's got a few kind of strange ideological tags like the West and also transatlantic defense industrial relationship. So that term, this transatlantic defense industrial term, is something that's sort of been knocking around since the late 90s, and it's come up, and I think it's there because the head of the IISS is there, Mark Sedwill, former Cabinet Secretary and former National Security Advisor, I think, of the UK, and so it's been one of their terms that they've liked to bandy around. So I suspect that's something he'll be, you know, hosting or talking about that level.
Well, yeah, many people won't be familiar with the name Scott Bessant, but he's the US Secretary to the Treasury. He's there as well as the guy from the National Security Council, the money men. So the money man at the US Treasury is there, plus the money man at the National Security Council, which means the War Council in America. So
you're operating off the old list. Bessant was on the old list, and they've changed it for the Secretary of the Interior. It's a different member of the... it's now Douglas Burgum, Secretary of the Interior. Instead of they've swapped out Trump cabinet members, but you know, still got two of them there.
Okay, so if people have not come across this before, particularly journalists, that it takes maybe a few days to sink in, by which time the story's gone. Why? What would you say about the significance or importance of this as a news story?
Well, it's bizarre. Look, I mean, I've been speaking to people. I'm working in a different realm at the moment, that of television comedy. And I've been speaking to people who are quite senior, quite well, one would say informed-ish, and they just don't know what I'm talking about. And I talk about this stuff, about it, because it's just come out today, so I've been speaking to some people, and they don't know about it at all. It's, I would say, less than, you know, I don't want to tip my hat to the news-suppressing powers of Bilderberg, but it's... it's just not a sort of commonly known thing. Like one might say, well, the G7's happening or something. I don't know, whether G8 or whatever. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, eyes glaze over and confusion reigns when I talk about Bilderberg in a way that sort of hasn't happened for a while. And then it's happened again. So, yeah, my journey through Bilderberg seems to be from it being completely dismissed or thought of as almost not existing, through to almost mainstream acceptance, now to it, they really sort of pulled it back out of the news cycle and I suspect that there's going to be very little coverage this year, which is incredible when you look at the list, which is so extraordinarily high powered. It really is, but every year it always slightly confuses me, but this year particularly, when you, in all of this, with so much of the news focused on NATO and Trump and the wars plural, then you have this crystallization of all of these different realms, and you know, with the Trump administration here, NATO leaders, all of those things, and yet, you know, it will, chances are, it'll just pass, sort of glide by in sort of blissful silence.
Yeah, unless we sort of whack it out there. The other thing is, it is the NATO countries, it's the political lobby in the NATO countries. They're very, very clever and successful in guessing who's going to be, put it politely, who's going to be the next leaders in various countries, with Lamy being, as we were saying, prime minister on the list accidentally. One of the Spanish dailies seems to be the only newspaper in the NATO countries that's covered this at all. I suppose it might be because Spain has been so unhappy about Iran.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point, and it could be that. Because it's not like there's especially a lot of Spanish people here. You know, there's the governor of the Bank of Spain. But there's a shadow minister here. But there's nothing, you know, it's not like, oh, gosh, there's lots of Spanish here. So yeah, I think you're right. I think that the Spanish stand against Trump is probably played into their interests here. I hope there's going to be a bit more mainstream coverage. But, you'd think there would be. But it's like, I have to say, you know, I've said this is now a broken record for me, but it's because, and I think you hear about this, by the way, in not just in journalism, but generally, people need to be spoon-fed stuff. You know, the ability to just go out and get information oneself is a sort of dwindling power. And I think that journalists have got so used to simply regurgitating press releases and following agendas that are sort of given, that there's, you know, you get the odd deep dive here and there, but into things, but generally speaking, they're just sort of spewing back out things that have just been sort of fed to them. And so, you know, when something like this comes along, the passivity that's been baked into the industry has, you know, means that they just kind of, there's no one out sniffing out, you know, there's no news hounds out there doing much, you know, sniffing. I'm generalizing, but I think there's certainly a case to be made for that. Anyway, that's a depressing thing to say.
Well, it is in a way, as soon as you start looking at this, I find it quite uplifting, because you've got the chairman, one of the former chairmen, when I first started going to the conferences about 2000, Etienne Davignon, has just been being indicted in Belgium for the assassination of Patrice Lumumba after many years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a massively important case. The idea that that somebody in Belgium actually assassinated the African leader in a former Belgian colony, and he's now going on trial for it, even though he's a very old man.
That is quite extraordinary. I mean, that is an extraordinary case. Quite whether it has any, it will have any kind of repercussions, I think that seems to me a sort of outlier theme. I mean, if you look at the Epstein thing with people there that are so, you know, like Peter Thiel, who is so involved in the whole Epstein circle and was, you know, was pretty much handling some of Epstein's investments and all of that. And it's mentioned hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in the Epstein files. You know, will there be repercussions there? Is he going to leave the steering committee? I mean, I say that like that's punishment, but you know what I mean? I don't know, but that would be interesting to see.
Well, although he's on the committee, the steering committee, Peter Thiel has disappeared off the list. I'm increasingly thinking that that the list has been deliberately, someone's gone through there and said, no, we don't want this one going out in public. Because it seems very strange, if as Thiel is a steering committee member, for him to not be going.
I think it's an earlier list that was sent out to someone who they were hoping to attract to the, you know, to the conference, and this is what the list looked like.
I would have thought if Thiel is going, you'd have a session on the Antichrist. He seems to be fascinated by this whole process.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, he's still got his minions here, but you know, there's various people that have worked very, very closely with him, whether they're from the National Security Council or whatever, or you know, Alex Karp from Palantir. So, you know, it's not like his presence isn't felt, but I think Eric Schmidt from Google would be quite pleased to see Peter Thiel go, because it's a big shift. If Peter Thiel has to leave Bilderberg, which looks like that might happen, to be honest, which is a big deal, it would be, I think Eric Schmidt would be delighted, because he'll make him much more powerful.
Well, Eric Schmidt has disappeared as well. He disappeared off the list.
Has he?
Yes, he has. Yeah. Yeah, allegedly. I mean, this is why I say I'm not so sure that actually be there.
Eric Schmidt is there. I doubted myself then.
Hang on. No, this is on the list that's up right now on the Bilderberg website. I'm looking down.
Do I refresh my browser?
Yes, he is. Sorry, you're right. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, the Thiel Schmidt tech finance and NSA front people, they're obviously key to this. As far as I know, they're both still on the steering committee. If people want to see your comedy stuff, where can they do that?
Well, watch Saturday Night Live UK. I'm working on that at the moment. So, it's very, very different world, to put it mildly.
Okay, so you won't be photographed with the King and the Queen of the Netherlands, because you're not actually over in Washington. Charlie Skelton, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.